It's now time for Sports Saturday.
Are you serious, really?
On 101.3, The Game.
I know football.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models and specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Vermont Engine Service, an engine and machine shop, 16 Krupp Drive in Williston. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining a mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering to a 10-mile radius of their Taft Corners, Williston location. This is Sports Saturday.
Yet another missed tackle.
Living the dream and taking you with us. 101.3, The Game.
We are living that dream and taking you with us. Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. And finally, after a two-week hiatus, my guy is back to my right, the Ponch to my John, the Chewbacca to my Han Solo, Bumblebee to my Optimus Prime. I mean, can I keep going here?
You can stop.
The Scottie Pippen to my Michael Jordan? No. Bernie Soplicki, good morning, my friend. Looking good today, looking strong.
Good morning, Jeff. Yeah. Happy birthday my friend.
Thank you. Very
all salty when I came in this morning. I didn't mention anything, and once again, we got you.
No. Think I was salty because you didn't mention anything about my birthday?
Yeah.
No, it's not
you
true.
You were grumpy.
I was not grumpy.
The only thing I can say is I am so happy you have your clothes on properly this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a rough day yesterday. And thanks for bringing it up.
Well, it's your birthday.
That's very true.
23?
Well, you only turned 23 once, Byrne. So
how many times is this
Well, it's been a few times since I've turned 23.
All right.
Yep. So thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The clothes situation, yesterday.
I mean,
been a busy week.
What are you and Monica doing in this room?
I wish I had a good, I wish I had a story like that. Okay. That I could say, you know, I could kind of pump my chest out and say, oh, Byrne, you know what I mean? But
no, I don't know what you mean.
And neither do I.
Okay.
So I got up yesterday morning. It was a very frantic morning. I had a couple meetings I had to do. Friday mornings are busy for me at Romanto's. I do our payroll then that morning, and I do our schedule for the next week, and I got to get everything ready to go. And I was in there very early, did all my work, had two meetings, went to my favorite bagel shop next door, Green Mountain Bagel, got my small coffee, and then I purchased some eggs for breakfast. And so I basically had been up for like 4.5 to 5 hours when I realized that through all my meetings, through me walking into this bagel shop twice and talking to people for a long time, the place had a lot of people, it was a very busy place, which is great, that my shirt was on backwards and inside out. And the thing about the shirt was that the shirt was hooded and the hood was stuffed into the front of my. So I put the shirt on so quickly in the morning that I had a hooded sweatshirt on inside out backwards. Wow. And I didn't realize until I went to take the shirt off because I was getting ready to, you know, to do some cooking, and I put my apron on and realized, my goodness gracious, I've had my clothes on backwards my whole morning.
Wow. Crisscross would have been jealous.
They would have been. And I was rather embarrassed about it. So I decided to put it on my social media because I felt like if I own it, I met with a couple people that, you know, I don't want to say influential, but they were important people in the community. And I'm sitting there trying to have like a serious conversation with them, and I have my shirt on with my hood in front of my, you know. The good thing about it is the hood wasn't out. So it's not as if I was that oblivious.
If the hood was out, you would have switched
I would have
it
known
right
immediately.
Yeah.
Right. But the hood was in. I'm not even sure how I was able to get my head into the said shirt with the hood staying in, which I think
you
is
don't,
a talent.
You don't have any hair, so it's pretty
easy.
That's
a good point. That's a very good point. So I just...
Yeah.
Just very quick and sleek.
You probably had a little product on it to keep it nice and slick.
I had just shaved it, so I always put the lotion on it.
So you were smooth,
right?
So you just slid right in.
That's me.
Yep.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. Just sliding right in.
Yeah. Okay, Byrne. 802-655-6672 is the number to call. Is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. Or you can watch us live on Twitch. Aram, tell them how they do it.
Twitch.tv/1013thegame.
All right. Hey, big show today. We know that this week is always a big week, and it is NFL draft week. It has been a very crazy week, I think. All teams involved in this community, and we know that we've got the Patriot fan base, the Giant fan base, the Jet fan base, the Bills fan base, even though the Bills, I think, are feeling, they got their feet up on the couch enjoying a little latte. They're not really worrying about it, but when you're talking about the Pats, the Giants, and the Jets, it was an important draft. It was a draft everybody was excited about. So we're towards the end of it now, but the bigger days are behind us, and now we can break down, you know what's gone on here. I will tell you that I have not looked forward, Bernie, to a TV event in a long time like I looked forward to this NFL draft.
Sure.
Okay. And I got ready for
Even like Virginia and Ohio?
No.
Okay.
No, I really, honestly, I was, shut up. It's more fun when you're not here.
It is?
Yes.
Not for me.
So I came home early, not early, it started at 8 and I couldn't wait, and I got my phone ready for you because I knew that the texts would start coming and we would start battling via text like we normally do when it comes to the Giant situation. So I was prepared for that.
Yes.
And I came home early, you know, for me, and I got myself ready, a nice meal, got on my favorite chair. My wife had her really sweet, our good friend Aaron over. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, and I thought they were going to get ready to go watch their shows in the other room, which they normally do, but they decided on this particular day that they were going to watch the draft with me.
Ooh.
Which I thought initially was, that's nice, well come on in, but it wasn't nice because I basically had to listen, and
go to the other TV?
Well, I was comfortable. I like this particular chair.
Okay
I mean, you know, you get into your chair, you're comfortable, I just like where I was.
Okay.
And all they talked about, I had to listen for the whole time.
The outfits. Yes.
It was like, oh my God, girls.
There were some good ones.
Well, and my wife was critiquing each one, and Aaron was critiquing each one. It was, and then, you know, you're trying to listen to what they're saying, and they're just blah, 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 blah in my background. I had to turn the volume up. I'm like, girls, I really need you to pump the brakes on this. Go in the other room and watch 90 Day Fiancé. Okay,
wow.
You know, just go over there so I can watch this draft.
Yeah. That probably did not go over well.
No. Well, you think I really said that to their face? No, I'd never say that.
Okay.
I said no. Okay,
I was going to say, because if you did that.
No.
He is here alive.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. Monica, what are you talking about? You don't want me to be in here. You don't want us to be in here.
So now you're saying how you felt about it now. So if they're listening, you're really in trouble.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be in. Whatever. They're not listening. My wife doesn't listen anymore.
Okay.
So we're
good.
Fine. Aaron's probably not even out of bed yet. And my guess is that my wife is not listening. So I know I can get away with it.
Okay.
But that's how I started.
So, Aaron, we got to tape this and send it to Monica.
No, okay. We don't do that.
I'll cut it up.
Okay. We don't do
nice.
That. All right. So, anyway, listen, draft is over. Don't you feel like the draft is like, I feel like when you watch the draft, it's like being drunk. And you're always, you do things sometimes when you're drunk that you when you wake up the next day, you think, that probably wasn't the best decision. Or maybe what my thought process was at that moment isn't the right thing now. Because that's how I feel about what I want. Watching the draft, that's kind of how it feels to me. I feel so much better about everything today than I did at that moment. You know what I mean?
Like, you kind of wake up and think. I absolutely know what you mean, because you were so
salty.
Oh.
I was.
Worse than me not wishing you a happy birthday today when
you
I first saw you.
You just wished me a happy birthday.
When I first saw you.
Oh, I was. I forgot about it.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
You want me to be salty. You think that I'm that kind of guy that I'd be upset at you for not wishing me a happy birthday?
I just like it when
you're a busy guy. I understand.
I like it when you get grumpy because your rants get better and better. and it just makes it more enjoyable for me.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yes, no, you were so grumpy
on
Thursday night. It was great.
I was angry. But it's my own fault, because you know what ends up happening is I personally listen to the quote unquote experts on that show, right? You listen
instead
to these
of listening
guys,
to me.
Well, no. instead of listening to my thought process, but you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Every player picked. I mean, look, they're awesome athletes, but every player picked is like, oh my God, this is the next guy. He's going to lead this team. I can't believe this. And I wanted the Giants to draft Micah Parsons so bad. I wanted that guy on the Giants so bad. The Giants have not drafted an impact linebacker, a guy like that with speed and strength, and he has an edge to him that the Giants just haven't had.
What about Mr. Irrelevant last year? He was good.
Who's Mr. Irrelevant?
Crowder?
He's not good. He's not great. He's not a great linebacker. This kid is a difference-making linebacker. And what bothered me the most was that Dallas got him.
Okay.
That's what killed me.
They were one pick ahead of us anyway. So sad.
No.
Yes.
No. The Giants passed. They traded their pick.
No,
if they
it was
didn't
the
trade
Eagles.
Their pick. Right. The Giants had the next pick behind the Eagles.
No.
Yes. And then the Giants traded down, and that's when Dallas got Parsons.
Yeah. I'm actually looking at it right now.
Oh.
It went Devonta Smith, Justin Fields, Micah Parsons.
So anyway, that's where I was at that moment.
No.
Yes, it was, Bernie. Yes, it was. The Giants had the 11th pick. The Eagles traded with whoever had the 10th
pick. Right, okay. But anyways, the Giants wanted either the two cornerbacks or the...
Either one of the two wide receivers, I believe.
Right. No, the supposedly their board was the two cornerbacks.
Horn and Surtain.
Right. Or the wide receivers from Alabama.
Waddle and Jones.
Smith,
yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Which was the worst-kept secret out there.
Okay.
So the Eagles made the right move.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, listen, the Eagles screwed the Giants again.
No, they didn't.
Well, initially, I thought that they did. They screwed them last year in January when they basically just gave the game up, you know, so they didn't make the playoffs. And I've seen that this happen. But then I thought to myself, okay, fine, those guys are gone. They're going to draft a linebacker they need to get. And then they moved down, and I thought, okay, like, I was angry. I was frustrated. I was mad. I was upset. And then I see the Dallas Cowboys and they're fist pumping. And next thing you see, you see Micah Parsons come out there and he's putting the cowboy hat on. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to deal with this guy for the next 10 years as a Giant fan. I can't do it, Bernie. I can't do it.
By the way, that was the first time in his career Gettleman's ever traded down.
Well, he's done it twice. He did it in the second round yesterday.
Yeah.
Trade down Dave.
Oh, by the way, gotta love him. My wife just texted me and said, I am listening. I didn't mean a word of what I said. And I loved having both of you in there with me. I learned a lot about fashion.
You know what I wish would happen in one of these drafts?
What?
Not the first two guys, the quarterbacks, Lawrence or Wilson, but whether it was Trey Lance, the boy Mac Jones, or Justin Fields, when they started to talk to them, you know, they say, well, what are you going to bring to the organization? Or what do you have to say to Cam Newton or Jimmy Garoppolo or Andy Dalton?
Yeah.
I wish one of those guys would have said, just for fun, and you know they're never going to say it, but how cool would it have been if they would have said, yeah, I'm really looking forward to coming in to learning from you and watching you. And then when I come off the field, because during the regular season you're going to be watching me, I want my you know, Gatorade with a couple of ice cubes in it, and make sure you have my Chromebook and towel ready. Wouldn't that be awesome just to like have somebody say, you know, I'm coming to take your job?
Yeah. Yeah,
No,
I don't know.
That wouldn't wow you? That wouldn't give you a shot factor?
Nothing wows me anymore.
There's been some quarterbacks who you wouldn't be surprised, right? Like if Baker Mayfield had come up and
But you knew he was going to get the keys to the car right away. That's why, like for Trevor Lawrence and the guy going to the Jets, Wilson, you know, for them to say that, okay, whatever. But like these other three guys, like imagine if Mac Jones said that to Cam Newton.
Oh, that would be something.
could you just imagine the chaos that would cause?
Well, let us know what you think here right now on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Let's break down the show today. We do have Tom King, our Patriots insider, joining us next segment to talk about the Pats draft and the Mac Jones draft, which I think is an interesting signing for the Patriots.
I think Patriots fans want patience, and now you got your future.
Yeah, I think that we're going to break down the Giants at 10:40. We're going to talk some baseball second half of the hour, hot or
how
not.
How about those Red Sox?
How about your Red Sox? You must be very excited about them.
And not even a mention of Jason Tatum.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get Jason Tatum as well. 60 points. Well, I mean, there's a lot going on here, Bernie. What, do I have to break everything down to you every second? I told you before the show, I told you everything we're going to do. I mean, let me tell you, each one, I got the whole list right here.
Well, you go through the show, we haven't even mentioned Jason Tatum.
Well, I mean, how about Jason Tatum last night, 60 points? That's pretty, and I think more impressively for the Celtics, more impressively than the 60 points, is that the amount that they were down at halftime.
Yeah, 32.
And to come back and to win a basketball game.
I so desperately want the Knicks and the Celtics to play in the 4-5 matchup because I just want all the Knicks fans to be shushed. Because
shushed.
Yes.
Well, you got to give the Knicks fans something, my God. The Knicks have not been relevant for 30 years.
And it's awesome.
It is.
Because it is so much more fun now that they're relevant. And they're good. But, I really hope the Celtics get them in the first round.
And we said it last week. I mean, you were out last week. We talked about this with Tom Thibodeau. I mean, Tom Thibodeau and Brad Stevens, I'm just telling you, those are the two guys, two best coaches in the NBA. And you look at Tom Thibodeau, he gets run out of town. Got run out of Chicago, situation in Minnesota. He's a guy that just understands how to get the best out of athletes. And if the athletes continue to play his basketball and don't become the egomaniacs that it seems that we see in the NBA, that it's got to get mine all the time, the Knicks are going to be good for a long time.
But what he's done with that roster, because that roster, you know, other than Derrick Rose, like there are a bunch of very good basketball players that haven't had their day. And they have so much to prove And they play so hard every night.
And that's a product of Tom Thibodeau.
Right, but I don't know if they have enough talent to, you know, get through in the playoffs.
You might be right about that. But in terms of a team that you want to root for, this is why I became a pseudo-Celtic fan the last few years, because I love what Brad Stevens has done with his teams. And what you're seeing with Thibodeau is the same thing. Teams like this are very successful. They're a lot of fun to watch.
I have an old friend of ours, Jeff, who was listening, Tim Emery, a good buddy of ours.
Oh, love Tim. How are you?
He just wanted to say, hey, I want to hear about those Red Sox, and what does Mr. Jeff Paul have to say about that, the Yankee fan he is?
I mean, I obviously, Tim, you haven't been listening to these shows very often, so I think that says a lot about you. You're not listening to us very often.
Whoa. Just because it's your birthday, you can't take a shot at him like that.
He's taking a shot at me.
He's just asking what you think about the Sox and the Yankees right now.
I think the Yankees stink, and I'm going to call for Aaron Boone to be fired. We're going to talk about that in the second hour. I think it's time for the Yankees to change directions, and I think the way the Red Sox are playing is just very good. I mean, I'm very impressed with what the Red Sox are doing. It's disgusts me. It bothers me to say it. I hate it. It's ruining my spring, along with this ridiculous weather we've had.
Why? It's great.
It's not great. When I woke up this morning, it was snowing in Williston.
Oh, you know. April showers. You know what?
It's May.
It was April showers yesterday. What does that bring?
Evidently, snow.
Mayflowers, right?
Oh, well, I mean, this morning it's May. I saw snow.
And what do Mayflowers bring?
Hopefully June warmth.
Pilgrims?
It brings what?
Pilgrims.
Oh, Pilgrims. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one.
Thanks.
All right, let's get to the Green City Garage. I'm telling you, this show off a cliff. Green City Garage poll question. Go to 101.3 The Game at Twitter. Green City Garage, 802-651-9299. Located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington. That's 802-651-9299. Go see my buddy Chris Wallace. He can take care of any issue your car has. Whether there's a weird sound, whether you need to get the tires rotated, need new tires, need your car to get balanced, oil changes, you just have any questions. No questions too small, no problems too big. And they're environmentally friendly, which is, honest to God, they have the cleanest garage I've ever been into. And and including my own, which is not saying much because mine is pretty bad. But I will tell you that go see my buddy Chris Wallace at Green City Garage. Like I said, 802-651-9299. You can go to Twitter right now at 101.3 The Game. The question is, who is the starter at quarterback for the Patriots week one? Is it Cam Newton or is it Mac Jones?
Not even a question. It's Cam Newton.
You think so?
Not even a question.
Yeah. By the way, when Mac Jones got, when they said his name and he's walking out, didn't you just picture Vince McMahon walking out? Like that's the first thing I saw. I'm like, oh my God, that guy's Vince McMahon.
Oh, it's so funny because you look at some of those guys who walked out. Like Waddle was walking out with so much swagger. Yeah. He was ready. And then Mac Jones walks up.
He was mad. I think he was
Mac
mad.
Mac Jones?
Yeah.
Why would you be mad? You're going to.
Because you got picked 15th and you should have went higher.
No,
that's
I don't know.
I don't think he was mad at where he went. In terms of the organization, I think he was mad at his spot.
He was supposed to go third like three weeks ago.
That's a healthy pay decrease.
He was a Vince McMahon wiggle going out there. Or it was like my old high school principal when he was trying to get someplace mad to break up a fight or something. That's what it just looked
and
like.
And I heard someone describe his body type as pear-shaped. That's what he looks like. He looks a little bit pear-shaped. It's kind of funny.
He's the people. That's what I like about him. Like, he's just normal guy. I like that. I know there's a picture of him after he won the championship with his shirt off, and he's not T.O. You know what I'm saying? I like that, though. But neither was Tom Brady. Look at Tom Brady when he came out of the draft.
Don't start doing that. That's not fair to that kid.
Comparing his body to Tom Brady? Like Tom Brady as a kid. Okay. I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady.
No, just the body type.
But he's going to be the starting quarterback. He's going to be the starting quarterback in Foxborough. Week one.
No way. Right now. Absolutely not.
Well, we're going to find out what Tom King thinks next. Don't go anywhere.
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki, Aaron Wells with you. Waiting to get Tom King on the line so we can break down the Patriots draft. Up-to-date draft. Excited that they got Mac Jones. I think most Patriot fans were probably relieved that one of the top quarterbacks fell to them and the Patriots didn't have to move to get him. Nope. Pretty good stuff.
No, great stuff. And, I really think the two guys they got yesterday, Barmore and Perkins from Alabama and Oklahoma with all the players that have opted in, you know, back in defensively, I think that that defense is going to be tremendous.
I love Barmore. The fact that he's a college guy with good size and he still fills the hole with his feet instead of just taking it up with his body. Amazing. I love it.
I will say, though, that the AFC East to me now is still looks like it's the Bills. I mean, if you look where the Jets are, I mean, you know, we got a rookie quarterback in there now, and that team is
they're getting better, but they're not
right.
There.
I'm not a believer in Tua yet. I think Miami's had a tremendous draft. I think Waddle is a difference maker. I would have loved to seen him in the Meadowlands for the Giants. He is a game breaker.
Well, and we want Miami to lose as Giant fans because of the extra draft capital.
Well, we really want Chicago to lose.
I know 16. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get to that later on. But, you know, so looking at the you know, and then you bring in Mac Jones and Cam Newton, and you're still not confident right now with where the New England Patriots are in terms of, you know, their wins and losses. So it looks like Buffalo has still got their feet up, feeling pretty good about it. But finally getting him now, because, you know, this is an important guy. You know, he's probably getting off one of the, you know, a national show or something to fit us in.
He's probably putting your birthday jingle together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, probably. It's enough with this birthday
stuff.
Oh,
sorry.
All right. Enough of this. I don't need it. But joining us now in the TikTok Jewelers guest line here on Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game is our good friend and our favorite Patriot insider, Tom King. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning. Happy birthday.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that.
Had I known, I would have planned a special surprise, yeah. You know?
I'm glad you didn't know then.
You got that right.
Oh, God. All right, let's get right into it. I was following your Twitter throughout the first round. If you haven't followed Tom King, you got to find him on Twitter and follow him. He's a great follow. But are you happy with where the Patriots are at, and are you not surprised that Mac Jones is now in Foxborough?
Well, in terms of being happy, you know me, I'm not a Patriots fan. So I'm not happy where the Giants were. I wanted Parsons, too.
But
I thought, if you saw my tweet, I thought that Parsons might end up in New England.
I did see
and
that.
I think in any other year, he would have. But not this year, where I think there was pressure on from the owner to grab one of the quarterbacks. There was only one left. The thing is, you know, Mac Jones fits them. He really does, you know, because I know Josh McDaniels loves him. McDaniels really wanted to get him. And the other thing is he's the most ready player to be able to come out and play or at least learn the pro game fairly quickly. So I think that he fits them in that regard. But I'll tell you what, they weren't trading up for him. They did not think that any of those quarterbacks were worth going up to grab, the ones that would be available. And they didn't also have a lot of capital to do it with because they didn't have their own third round pick thanks to the fiasco in Cincinnati. I don't think they definitely didn't want to give up their second rounder. And the thing is, the depth of this year's draft isn't that good, so a lot of those picks back in the fourth and fifth round and everything else, you know, they're not that valuable. So, and they certainly didn't want to give up a lot of stuff from next year's draft because that's where it's supposed to be a deep draft. So I don't think the Patriots really had a lot weren't dealing with a position of strength. So it's not quite a shotgun marriage, but it's close. Mac Jones was there. They need a quarterback. They need a young quarterback. He's pro, you know, he's three quarters of the way pro ready. So they grabbed him, and it was a smart pick. There was no, we know about this guy that no one else knows about and all that stuff. There was no trading back to try to get, the quarterback maybe from Stanford, things like that. There was none of that was going on. This was a straight deal. They had to get a quarterback, and if Mac Jones was there, they were going to take.
Do you think are the Patriots right now ready to compete in the AFC East? I mean, I was...
Sure. Oh, yeah. No, I don't think there's any doubt about it because of the players that they got around the quarterback and what they've done defensively. Remember, everybody has got short memories. I mean, all the focus, I think, a lot of the focus last year, when you look at what happened last year and what went wrong, was... with the quarterback and with Cam Newton. But the games that I saw, they couldn't stop the run. They're horrible against. They were horrible defensively. They were getting beaten up physically. The players that they've gotten in free agency and last night in the draft, two guys they drafted, are probably going to change that. They have added a lot of beef up front, which they desperately needed, and which if people look back at when Belichick first started drafting with the Patriots back in the early 2000s, what did he always go for? The strong, the big, you know, bulky defensive lineman. And that's what they've gotten over the last, you know, month and a half. And they've beefed up up front. They've beefed up their, you know, and then they've gotten, you know, veteran linebackers that are coming back and everything else. But defensively, they're going to be, they should be very good. Should be very good defensively. And that alone will allow them to be able to compete. In answer to your question that Bernie gave you, and the answer Bernie gave you, and I agree with Bernie, you know, Cam Newton's going to be the starter in week one. Bill Belichick is not a, you know, the type of quarter, type of coach to hand over the reins to a rookie right away. That's not going to happen.
So, Tom, you know, you talk about, you know, what the Patriots did yesterday, and again, I love those two picks to help them with the defense. Where is today, you know, back to the old cliche of best player available, or are there some areas that they still need to target to finish out the draft?
I think that they'll probably try to get a little bit of depth on the offensive line, draft an offensive lineman if they can, but it really is going to be, I mean, and especially where they're drafting in the end. Well, I think they have a fourth, a fifth, 2 6ths, a seventh, something like that. It'll be best. When you get to that point in the draft, it's best player available. You can't be drafting for need in the fifth and sixth round. So you get to take the best guy that's there. I think they'd like to see an offensive lineman there so they can add a little bit of depth there. I think they'd maybe like to see another corner somewhere that they could throw out there and get some depth there. So, but if those players aren't there, or they could try to trade up or try to trade back, but I don't know exactly how much more capital they have left to be able to deal. I mean, they made that deal last night, and that was obviously going after probably the second-ranked defensive tackle in the draft, a guy who probably, you know, would have gone, if it wasn't for the big run on quarterbacks, he probably would have gone a lot higher. So it probably would have been a late first round pick. So it'll be best available. I don't think you're going to see him take a kicker in the fifth round, though.
Who do you think had the best draft? Who had the best draft, in your opinion, out of all the teams that are picking and all the decisions that have been made in the first few rounds?
I don't know. I haven't looked at everything, you know, in the second round. I mean,
right, what stood out to you in the first round? And you thought, you know, you got done. This team got a lot better quickly, or the decisions made are going to be better for this team in the future.
Let's see. What stood out in the first round in terms of who got better? I mean, I think the Eagles when they got their receiver really helped.
Yeah,
really helped Philadelphia's offense. You know, and that was another guy the Giants were targeting. But I think Dallas defensively, you know, I think Dallas beefed up their defense needed help, and they got Mika Parsons, and he's a linebacker we haven't seen in a while.
I know.
So, you know, that really, you know, that was something that I wasn't.
It was a kick in the gut. Just say it. It was a kick in the gut to us Giant fans, wasn't it? Watching him go to Dallas, it made me sick.
It was, you know. But you know what? The Giants didn't want him, evidently, because they could have had him.
I know.
You know, they didn't. Evidently, they did not want him. And why that is, I don't know. But I think, again, ownership there. I think, you know, the pressure is to get playmakers for Daniel Jones, because they got to find out about Daniel Jones once and for all. Now, they didn't do badly last night.
Right.
You know, I mean, they got one of the top, you know, linebackers, you know, not a Parsons, but maybe the next level down, they didn't do badly. So I think that's another thing. And they also, I think they did pretty well with their draft overall. I really do. And I'm not saying that because I'm a Giants fan. They got a good receiver. They got a quarterback that they really wanted who can probably really help them out with depth.
Yeah.
And they got themselves a linebacker. So I think that they did pretty well. But I mean, if everybody's looking for Mac Jones to all of a sudden take over the Patriots offense, I don't think it's going to happen. But I'll tell you what, it's a lot of people don't like him. You know, I mean, and the other, I think the other flip side of the story is, you know, Belichick wasn't doing handstands. You know, you could tell when he, you know, met with the media on Thursday night. It was like, yeah, we got a quarterback. Yeah, Mac Jones, we'll bring him in. We'll see, you know, the typical stuff. We'll bring him in. We'll see how it works and everything else and the whole bit. I mean, they weren't going to mortgage the farm to any of these guys. You know, that was clear. They just didn't seem to think that they fit what they want to do. And that's the other thing, too, is you got to get a quarterback that fits what you want to do. And I think that they feel that, you know, this guy does it. Mac Jones does it. He's got a little bit of swagger to him. It was always painful when you watch the you know, whoever gets, there's always somebody who slides down, and he was the one sliding right down, and you watch the pain in the green room. So that was tough to see, but he handled it pretty well, and I think he's going to handle things here pretty well. You know, quarterback of the future, yeah. There's some people that think that Jarrett is on par with Mac Jones, and maybe that's the case. Stidham certainly showed a lot of poise when he was a rookie in preseason. That was preseason. We haven't seen him do anything since. So 2 years ago. So we'll just have to wait and see how it shakes out.
You're the best, buddy. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, guys. Take it easy, John.
See you
later. Happy birthday. Enjoy.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks.
The great Tom King. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to break down these New York Giants. And we'll hit the NFC East in general because I think all of the NFC East had a really good day the last couple of days. We'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
All of those prognosticators that went out and said the Yankees are going to go.
What are they called?
Prognosticators. I lost the word for a second, but I brought it back. I didn't say prognosticator.
Oh, I
said prognosticator.
Oh, okay, sorry.
You need another cup of Mountain Dew.
Why?
Because I did not say frogcostinator.
Okay.
I said pro-cat, whatever it is. Now I lost the word again. Anywho.
On 101.3 The Game.
We are back on 101.3 The Game. It is Sports Saturday. Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki, and Aaron Wells bringing you the hits this morning. This is like circa 2009, I think.
It's Jay-Z. A throwback.
I only know that because it was the last time the Yankees won the World Series. This was a big sign.
They're close this year.
Yeah, they're not close. We'll get into that next hour. Feel free to join our conversation, though. 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. We've got a lot of texts this morning.
Any birthday wishes?
I've gotten a couple, yes. Yep. I get a lot on this text line sometimes. Yeah. So it's been nice. We can get to some of those after. But let's get to that Giants draft.
Tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
No, hold on. You need to... You were talking about it earlier.
Yes.
You were all grumpy boy.
I was.
And now you're saying it's tremendous.
The thing about the draft, and I tried to articulate it well earlier, is that when you watch the draft, there's so much excitement to it. There's so much, you know, and you listen to the quote-unquote experts and all the highlights and all the excitement. And you know, you're thinking, you just got to get this guy. You got to get this guy. You want this guy. And then the disappointment, the initial disappointment of, say, the Giant first trade down.
Why was there initial disappointment?
Because I want... See, here's the thing about Micah Parsons, okay? And you don't like it, and fair enough. And I hope
how did he play this year?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Opted out.
Listen. Well, that's another story for another day. That's another story. That's another story for another day because that's just a completely different mentality.
Okay.
But you look at who he is and what he represents. It looks like, and we don't know because there's been plenty of busts, but it looks like he's a difference-making linebacker in a position where the Giants have not drafted an elite linebacker in, I mean, since probably the Lawrence Taylor, Carl Banks, Pepper Johnson days. And we know, Bernie, as Giant fans over the last 20-something years, what tight ends have done to the Giant defense. And having an athlete like Parsons that brought it, it looks like he's got an edge to it. He just reminds me of Lawrence Taylor, I guess. He just looked like that different kind of linebacker. The emotion of the moment made me stressed.
You did not just say Lawrence Taylor in this situation.
I said it. He reminds me, just look, he's athletic. He looks like an athletic freak. He's like a difference-making linebacker, can do anything. He can play the edge, can play the – he can do anything. That's what it looks like to me. So at the moment, that was my frustration. On top of the frustration that it looked like the Cowboys and the Eagles colluded against our Giants to put us in a terrible situation, and it frustrated me for a half a second.
So those three teams at 10, 11, and 12 – all made really good business decisions, true. And now you're going conspiracy.
Well, you see, you're not letting me finish the story. So you're like typical media. You let me say something, don't let me finish my point. Okay,
the only thing I appreciate that you're doing in this rant right now is you haven't said the word that I just can't stand with the draft.
Yes.
A generational talent.
It's not in my vocabulary.
Anyway,
well, no one knows anything. That's the thing.
Like, yeah, but that's how you get seduced. That's how you get seduced with the draft. Is you listen to these guys that are the experts that say this is a can't miss guy. Again, you fall for it. But my point being is, I am now, and this might be for the first time we've been doing this show for 5, 6, 7 years, and for the first time ever, I'm probably going to agree with my guy to my right that I'm with you on this Giants draft. That I think what Dave Gettleman did. As emotional, because the draft is like, it's like being drunk. You know, the thought process just isn't right when you're watching it live. You've got to like wake up the next day and say, ingest it and say, okay, I think the trading with the Bears and what they've gotten from Chicago next year's first round pick, which is going to be unbelievable, and a fourth round pick in a draft that's supposed to be insanely deep.
Which I have no clue on. So right. Glad we got extra picks.
Exactly. And then the signing of Kadarius Toney. Again, when they said Kadarius Toney, I said, who? Like, you're expecting all these names.
You didn't know who he was. He's Derek Mason.
Well, and I'll tell you, now that you learn a little bit about this kid, he looks like a difference maker. He looks, and not only is he quick and strong and a breaker, he's physically strong. It's hard to get him on the ground. I love that. And I love the second round pick of getting Azeez Ojulari, who is what some people think, if it wasn't for a knee issue, would have been a top 10 pick this year. That's the kind of guy I was hoping the Giants would get, and that's why I wanted Parsons.
And they
so
got
bad.
Him.
Agreed.
I think everybody in the NFC East did a good job,
mm-hmm.
you know, and from that standpoint. So, you know, which is good. I kind of look at it this way for the Giants is – if the offensive line and Daniel Jones are good, then they're going to have some draft capital and going to continue to improve. If the offensive line and Daniel Jones is not good, the new general manager will be able to find their new quarterback and shape the roster the way they want.
I mean, first of all, Daniel Jones is going to be just fine. This is not on Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones is going to be an elite.
How is this not on Daniel Jones?
It's going to be on Daniel Jones because everybody makes it on Daniel Jones. Everybody makes Daniel Jones a scapegoat when the reality speaking here is it's been the rest of that roster that's let Daniel Jones down.
And the rest of the roster is intact and ready now.
Fair enough.
If Daniel Jones is good, then the Giants will be fine. If Daniel Jones is not good, the new general manager will find the next quarterback.
Fair enough.
Well, the nice thing about the Toney pick is you got a receiver in free agency. You did not have to get a lock for a number one receiver for your roster. You just needed a guy who could be behind Galladay and be a great option, especially in space, a slot guy who you can get the ball to quickly when plays break down or when you've got a blitz coming so that Daniel Jones isn't getting crushed if that offensive line doesn't improve this year. And Toney brings that. I think he's one of the best guys in this draft at changing direction at full speed. I know, obviously, Waddle and Smith and Chase are supposed to be, another level.
He was the next one.
And let me just say this. So Ken from White River says, Eagles got our Mr. Heisman, and we got the best interior lineman in the draft. And then he went on, he thought that Toney was a reach at 20. And he thinks, don't protect Daniel Jones, Jeff. People crucified Wentz. It's only fair. The point about Mr. Heisman is, where I almost right now, and this is not a shot because the Giants didn't get him, I almost feel better about Toney than I do of Smith, only because of the size of Smith.
Well, and because of what the Giants also got. They got more draft capital.
Yeah. I mean, there's no question. I mean, the future for the Giants in the draft, it looks good. But what I'm just trying to say is, as a Giant fan, that's the difference between you and me, which is not a bad thing. I should look at it this way. You're looking at it, oh, wow, the future is bright here. We got all this good stuff happening. It's going to be great. And I'm looking, I want this team ready to rock right now. And when you looked at some of the names and you looked at the difference makers that potentially could have been there, the first initial moment I thought, oh, my God, the world's falling in here. Dallas and Philadelphia are trading They're going to lose the wide receiver. Now the Giants are trading back. Now the Dallas Cowboys needed that dynamic linebacker, needed to fix themselves on defense. They're going to score a lot of points. You know that. Now they got the linebacker. The first initial mentality is, oh, no. But with what the Giants are doing now, I feel really good about that roster. And I feel really good about Daniel Jones with that roster.
Well, I mean, time will tell. It's going to come back to the offensive line. The Redskins got better.
They did.
With the linebacker they got, I think, again, everybody in the NFC East got better.
All right. We got a call. Tim from Colchester. Good morning, Tim. What's happening, buddy?
Tim from Colchester.
Hi.
Here. I'm just listening to Giants. It's so funny to me.
You went in out. You cut like Giants Homer.
He fumbles at a staggering rate, and that he turns it over more than any quarterback in the league. Talk to me about how that's not on Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones has been a part of a roster, Tim, and I appreciate the call, but has been a part of the roster. And do we still have him, or do we lose him?
I'm going to let him go because his line's really
okay,
bad.
Okay, yeah. If you want to call back, we'll have this debate with you or this chat with you. Your line is bad.
He sounds like a Redskin fan to me.
Well, the point about the Giants. Is that this has been a bad football team, and Daniel Jones has been put in a position to make plays. And sometimes when young guys try to make plays, they throw interceptions. They hold onto the ball too long. Daniel Jones, to me, is proven, just watching him every single day, that he can make every throw, he can get outside the pocket. He has not had a guy on his roster, one guy on his roster, in the whole time he's been in the NFL, that has the ability to separate on their own. He's been a part of numerous different offensive lines, and he's also had two different offensive coordinators in the two times he's been with the Giants. Right now, this football team, with what they put on the field, Daniel Jones will thrive this year, and you'll all have a nice bowl of crow to eat sometime, I'm thinking, mid-November. When he's just ripping the league up.
I do think Jones's turnover numbers are inflated by the guys around him not being great over the last couple of years. The question is how inflated, and I think that's a question we're going to finally find out this year because he has some weapons. The roster around him has improved some enough that we'll get to see if he improves in terms of efficiency and stuff.
What were we talking about with Tom Brady his last year in New England? What were you guys telling me about Tom Brady? What was everybody saying about Tom Brady?
He's done.
It's over. Exactly. And I'm not comparing Daniel Jones to Tom Brady. What did we see? What did we see with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Right.
When his players were dropping balls, when he didn't have his normal offensive line to protect him, he looked average. He looked average, and that is the best player in the NFL.
Right.
I don't mean to be so passionate and frustrated, but I'm just telling you, this is a kid
that
can play.
We're saying the same thing.
I know. Here. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the listeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and we're going to find out because now he has
But there's no reason to get mad at them.
This is who I am, man. I know. I got it. This is who I am. I'm just...
Dude, your blood pressure. I'm worried about it. It's your birthday. You're getting older.
I love my guy, Daniel Jones. I think he's going to be a difference maker at quarterback. I think he's going to be a difference maker in that league, and I think he has a chance to be one of the top 10 or 15 quarterbacks in the NFL.
There's a really good senior at Cincinnati next year who's going to look great in the Giants.
Oh, stop next year. Chris from Champlain on the Town Fair Terror text line said, Jones will be making pizza with Jeff in 2 years.
That'd be cool.
I would love that.
Yeah.
He could do it in the offseason. You know, he'd be part-time employee. I'd be all about that. We'll see, but I also think that Philadelphia helped themselves. I think Dallas helped themselves. I think Washington helped themselves. It's going to be a good division.
There's so many questions. Offensive line, how healthy is Barkley? Can Sterling Shepard stay healthy? You know, Galladay, there's a lot of health and injury questions. If all of that can come together, it could be very exciting. And there's hopefully a good chance that happens.
And the good news is, even if Sterling Shepard can't stay healthy, and he's proven that he can't, then right now they have enough depth right now to be able to ingest that, where they haven't had that in the last 2 or 3 years. They just haven't.
Right.
And by the way, about Daniel Jones, before we go, a real quick reminder of what Eli Manning was the first few years in the league.
Great.
I mean, you know, he wasn't great.
He was great every play.
He really wasn't.
Yes, he was.
That was a very, very, very below average quarterback. If Eli Manning played as well as Daniel Jones has the first 2 years, you'd see a player that would have been the Giants probably have 2 or 3 more championships if Daniel Jones was Eli Manning. With the team that he had around him during his prime time. I'm just telling you.
You really have lost your mind.
I have not lost my mind, and I'm right. All right, quick break. When we come back, it's Out in Left Field time. Don't go anywhere.
Where you are.
Because you're about to hear some crazy shit. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
All right, Aaron. What do we got today?
Oh, boy. This is a fun one. It's not a fun one, but...
No.
A woman in Indonesia was swallowed whole by a python as she checked on her cornfields last week.
I'm sorry, did you say a woman was swallowed whole by a python?
By a python, yep.
Did this happen in the Chittenden County?
No, this happened in Indonesia.
Okay, I feel better already.
She left her home Thursday night to visit her cornfield about a half a mile from her house. Pythons are common in the area, but it was actually wild boars that the woman had been worried about initially because they could destroy her crops. When she didn't return, her sister went out to find her and found her footprints, flashlight, slippers, and machete.
Oh, my God.
On Friday, 100 villagers from the area searched and found a 23-foot-long snake with a very swollen belly. They killed the snake, cut it open, and found her entirely intact inside.
Oh, my God. That's one of my worst. That's just a fear. That's terrible.
No. Like, imagine they 100 people killed the python, cut it open, and they found her.
Yeah, and her entire body completely intact.
That's
awful.
It's terrible. Yeah. It's a terrible story.
But
it happens. It happens a lot. I've read many stories like that.
They squeeze you to death, too. That's how, like, so it's unpleasant.
So I have a story that I'll try to make it as quick as possible. I used to work with this woman when I first moved up here like 20 years ago, and she was with the Peace Corps. And she told me a story when she was, I'm trying to remember where she was, whether she was in Africa or she was in South America. And she was walking, she was there for like 6 months, and each month she was able to do something different. So she was meeting with this old church in the middle of the jungle, and it was away from the village she was staying in. So it got dark. So the priest of this church said that we'll walk you back to your, you know, to the village. It was like a 25 or 30 minute walk. So they're walking through this jungle, which is, it's like midnight. It's pitch black. She said the jungle was so dense that you could actually lean in it and not fall down. It was that thick. And all of a sudden the priest says, stop. And everyone stopped and he said, light this. And they lit a torch and there was a 25 foot python or boa constrictor that was hunting them that he could hear. That's how good this guy was. And they had to go the long way. And basically what he said to her was that they go after the smallest thing and you were the smallest person. And that snake, can you imagine?
No.
Can you imagine?
No.
And this is why I tell you guys.
This is why
I don't like snakes.
Nope.
I'm not a snake fan.
Nope. I'll stay home.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This is also why I don't go camping. Another reason for that. You never know nowadays. You know, people have pet pythons. They get big. They let them go.
So we couldn't get you on like Naked and Afraid?
No, oh, my God. I wouldn't go barefoot and afraid. And that's a true story either. I don't walk barefoot in my yard.
Yeah,
I literally am petrified of, I don't like the woods. I just don't. And camping is, I'm out. Camping to me is like the Hilton. You know what I mean? Or the Marriott or the Best Western or wherever, you know, that's camping to me. You got a nice shower. You got a warm bed, you know.
Okay.
Indoor plumbing.
There's no roughing it for you.
No, not a chance. I'm out with that. I don't even want to get like a camper or one of those things. I don't even want to deal with that.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, they keep the doors open. You never know what's going to sneak in there. You know what I mean?
A little mouse or a snake.
Yeah, I mean,
or...
I'm not that afraid of mice. I mean, they kind of make you go, ooh. You know what I mean?
I'm with Jeff on this one. If I'm going to pay to go get out of the house, I want to be comfortable and go, like, see interesting things. I've seen the woods. Once you've seen the woods, you've seen the woods.
But there are people that just, they can't get enough of camping. They just, they love it, the tent and all that, the lean-tos and all that stuff, making a fire.
I don't mind making a fire. That's why I have a fire pit.
Yeah, but that's at your house.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, a fire pit at your house is one thing.
Right.
A fire pit in the middle of the woods is something
else. No, thanks.
Connect with nature, dude.
Speaking of out in the woods, did you hear what my friend Scott did to my backyard? Did you hear about this?
I saw a picture.
Yeah, he put a 9-foot wooden Sasquatch in my backyard. And he hammered it into, I talked about it last week, but.
I saw it because I thought I saw a photo.
Yeah.
And it scared you?
Well, you know, I didn't expect it. The good news was I was there with other people. But if I was out back like at dusk, yeah, that would have scared me. You see this big giant 9-foot thing walking. You think it's walking in your backyard? It would have been.
Was it the same one that your delivery guy saw?
No. What he saw was real.
No,
that's a true story.
Nope. Come on, Jeff.
I'm telling you the truth.
Man, they got to put like a fake snake in your backyard.
No. That's a problem. Actually, I had a snake in my pool this past summer. I had to get out.
Uh huh.
It was a grass snake, and I handled it.
You didn't have Monica do that?
Well, I asked her to come down for support. I said, Monica, Monica. She came down and she goes, "Well," I go, "there's a snake," and there's a little grass snake. But I just I And snakes probably aren't that bad. I know they're good for the environment, but I just don't like them.
Well, I mean, I think that might be the next April Fool's joke.
No.
Big snake in your backyard.
I'm begging you not to do that. That's why I really...
Or underneath the car have the head poking up at the door.
Last soccer season, we're at practice, and I was told I was on the wrong field. We had to go to the game field. You know this because as the old 80 at Colchester. And there was a snake around my ball, the bag that we have the soccer balls in, and they couldn't find it. And I thought for sure that snake got in the bag, and I threw it into my car. And that somewhere along the way,
it was going to come out.
Well, not get me. I just seeing it would be a problem. But it never happened.
Oh, I got.
But okay. I'm going to knock on wood.
Yep. No, I'm going to get you.
No, Bernie. I'm just going to tell you something. Don't ever do that to me. I'm begging you not to do it.
I'm going
to
get you.
All right. Sports update time.
Bringing you another day closer to game day. It's Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Austin Danforth on 101.3 The Game.
We are back on Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the exact same number, 802-655-6672. Just like to say, Arnie just sent me a happy birthday text.
That's nice.
He said, happy 60th birthday. Hope I look as good as you do at 60.
That's fair. That's wrong.
Oh, you jerk.
What?
I'm not even close to 60.
Oh. Okay.
It's Arnie, and I have to
say,
Arnie's
that far.
Whoa.
I have to say it too. So I think during the week they were kind of busting on me because Arnie has this bell. It's a bell that says Harvard on it, which we know Arnie was nowhere near Harvard in any of his life.
I thought he graduated from there.
Maybe
middle school, Harvard middle school.
Yeah, something like that.
All right.
Anywho, last week I just picked it up while Aaron and I were talking and it was loose and I tried to tighten it up, but like came apart and it broke.
Oh,
so
geez.
I forgot that I did it and I actually just put it back over here. Well, I guess this bell is a big part of the huddle for whatever reason. I don't know. And they went to use it and it was broken. So I apologize, Arnie, and I'm glad to see that it's back together normal. So it is working and I won't be ringing the bell anymore, but, yeah, so I have to own that. I did break it. I didn't mean to break it. My intentions were good.
Yes.
But it fell apart. It looked like I could probably fix it, but it was very intricate, and then the show started, and I forgot about it. So I apologize for the bell. I was going to buy a new bell anyway, but now I'm not because it's fixed, so that's it.
Yeah. Ring that bell.
Just ring that bell.
That's right.
All right, anyway, so last week as the show was ending, Dennis from Georgia, one of my favorite listeners, he is maybe one of the biggest cojone busters we have on this show, at least for me, Bernie.
Okay.
I mean, he's always in my kitchen for something. Mentioned, because we were talking about, and maybe we can call this segment, you know, baseball eating itself segment, because baseball every week just continues to just, you know, just impale itself with every step of the way.
Why? Because the Red Sox keep winning?
It has nothing to do with the Red Sox.
Oh, okay.
It has to do with the way the game is being played. And I'll use it as a quick example. I don't know if you heard about this, but the Pioneer League. Is that the league that the Lake Monsters are playing in, by the way?
Might be.
Whatever the league. Maybe that's I don't even know if it is or not. So if it is, it is. If it isn't, it isn't. But their new extra inning rule, so you're not going to go extra innings and win, try to win a game. You're going to have a home run derby to determine who wins.
Yeah, I can't say.
No. Please. I mean, who are making these decisions? Just like the same people that are making decisions in Major League Baseball. That in extra innings, we're going to put a guy at second base.
That's because every fan wants you to, then every fan will want to stay and see the home run.
No, it's just dumb. But anyway, that's not the point of this. We'll get to that maybe. But Dennis asked the question, should Major League Baseball ban the shift, meaning that you can't shift during the game? And I said as we were ending the show that, no, you should never have to ban the shift. I mean, banning a shift for what? Does that mean you're gonna ban that guys can't bring the third baseman in to defense a bunt? Are you going to say that you can't? I mean, you can't. If the guy hits left-handed, you're not going to move.
It's a scouting report.
His idea specifically was to require the shortstop and second baseman to stay on their sides of second base.
But again, and I'll tell you why. Like, you want to stop the shift. If you just want to stop it very easily.
Become a complete hitter.
Exactly. And play the game of baseball the way it's supposed to be played. Hit them where they ain't. Right? That's the purpose.
Not great English.
No, it isn't, but that's the saying.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that to me is why baseball should never ban the shift. I wish baseball players would start to play the game the way it was meant to be played, and then you wouldn't shift. You know, if Bernie Siplicki is a big left-handed power hitter and hits 45 home runs a year and drives in 120 and they decide they're not going to put anybody on the left-hand side, left side of the diamond, and they're going to make him, they want him to go the other way so he isn't a home run, and you just get up there and you keep swinging at balls that are outside and rolling into that shift, it's your own fault. But if you start to hit the ball the other way and keep hitting that hole and keep hitting that hole, they can't keep shifting on you. And that will allow you to become, and not only will you become a great home run hitter, you also become a great, you know, average hitter. And that's what we don't have in baseball right now at all. We don't have a game that is really about baseball. I mean, you and I were talking off air. You haven't watched a lot of baseball. This week you watched the Mets and the Red Sox. I think your insight's perfect. Say what you told me.
You know, it was, you know, the pitching is very good, and I wanted to see DeGrom pitch, and he was lights out, but everybody, you know, either struck out. No one could really put hard contact on the ball, and if they did try to swing, they were swinging for the fences. It was very eye-opening, you know, for everything that you say, and I hate to say it, I actually kind of agree with you with the way that the whole game has shifted. From that standpoint, I mean, the second game, over half of the outs combined were strikeouts.
Nuts. And that's what's happened. So we have, and I say this every week, but we basically have what I would call, you know, and what I shouldn't take the credit, but Kevin Kernan, our favorite, the iconic baseball sports writer out of the New York Post, who's now retired, but he is a part of a website called ball9.com, which basically brings former players, former writers together. It is an unbelievable follow. They've got great stories in there that just love the purity of the game of baseball. He calls them the dweebs. Baseball dweebs are ruining the game. And so, yeah, the games are going to be a little bit shorter. I mean, think about where we're at right now with baseball, right? We have doubleheaders that now the games are 7 innings long.
Which I don't understand.
Of course. And now we have a situation
where do you mean, of course? Wait a second.
Well, how could you understand? It's stupid.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought you were saying, like, me not being smart enough to understand.
Oh, no, not at all. You're smarter. You're smarter than the average bear, Byrne. I mean, come on.
I am a grumpy bear.
Yeah. I mean, so yeah, that's ridiculous, number one. Number two, we have this insanely ridiculous situation happening in extra innings we just mentioned where you put a player at second base. But I'll tell you, to be able to like put together, you can see how bad the Yankees are and really see in terms of what their strategy and how to play baseball, because when that's happened to them, they can't move runners up. They can't move people along.
I mean, last night they did. They killed it.
Yeah, that's the problem with the Yankees, is they have a game like that where they hit 5 home runs and everybody thinks they're back.
They're back. No, they're not back.
They're not back. You know, and I'll tell you something else. They go into Baltimore this past week, and they get beat, embarrassingly get beat week the first game. Then they have a nice couple days where they hit the ball, they win a couple games. Then they lose a ridiculous game in game 4. So they split with the lowly Baltimore Orioles. And all I read in the New York papers when they went through that 2-game winning streak is that the Yankees are back. Those bats are back. Look at how exciting this team. Look at Giancarlo Stanton. Until the Yankees can consistently beat a good team, Tampa Bay, this year Boston, you know, Chicago White Sox, I don't know. Whoever that we deem is the great teams this year. Until you see some consistency there, Toronto, you sweep Toronto, take 3 out of 4, take 2 out of 3. The Yankees aren't back.
So shutting out Detroit doesn't do it for you last night?
No, it doesn't.
How come?
Because they're not a good baseball team. And I honestly, you know, the Yankees hit 5 home runs and everybody gets excited. Oh, Aaron Judge made a comment that he's comfortable with the Yankees, you know, looking for the long ball. I would be more excited for the Yankees if I heard that there was one inning where they got like 5 singles. Or if they won a game 3-2 and they didn't hit any home runs, but they got key hits later. They got a single, then they went first to third on something, and then they hit a long fly ball to move a runner up.
How they're built though?
Yeah, that's the problem.
So you are just more frustrated with the way they're built and you don't like the way they play.
Let me just say this real quick. You're making my argument from Dennis from Georgia. Baseball should be played the way it was meant to be played. The second baseman plays second, not the shortstop position. I mean, Dennis, that's fine. And I hear what you're saying. That's Dennis from Georgia, one of our favorites here on the Town Fair Tire text line. But that's what baseball's about. It's about making adjustments, right? I mean, if you're getting up there and they're going to move the shortstop to the second base hole and they're going to put the second baseman behind the first baseman,
then hit it the other way.
It's all strategy. That's what baseball is. That's what I love about baseball.
But that's like saying, like, let's move it to a different sport. Let's say football. That's like saying, oh, you can't blitz.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to strategize. You scout. You do that. And that's why, albeit the shift, that's why the batter now has to adjust.
Exactly. And that's what we've talked about with even the Red Sox success so far, right? So the Red Sox are having some success with young kids. That there's probably not a lot of tape on some of these guys, and the Red Sox are having some success. What I've said about the Red Sox is there will be an adjustment made, by, you know, teams that have a little bit more experience. And if the Red Sox continue to adapt to that and they have the ability to adjust to that, they're going to be okay. They're going to be okay in that division.
They're pitching very well, though. They really are.
They are pitching well, but those are young pitchers where there's not a lot of film on these guys, and there will be adjustments made. This is what you see. We've seen this with a lot of young pitchers early, teams that start out quick.
Not a lot of film on Nathan Eovaldi.
Well, I mean, Eovaldi's a different guy.
Or Matt Barnes, our closer.
No, okay, so you're going to pick two guys out?
E-Rod.
Well, he's been around for a few years.
I mean, the Red Sox are playing well because they've got young pitchers pitching well. There will be an adjustment made, whether they make the adjustment. But if you're a Red Sox fan, you got to be excited about where they're at. But to answer your question about the Yankees, yes, that's exactly how they're built. They're built to hit the home run. And
you don't like that.
I hate it.
Okay.
What's maddening about it, and we said it last week, is that the Yankees have the blueprint. They know exactly what it takes to win in Major League Baseball. They were the last baseball dynasty we've seen. It wasn't that long ago. And they didn't do it hitting the long ball. Somewhere along the way, and I think it was when Gene Michael passed away. I mean, if you don't know who Gene Michael was, he's been in the Yankee organization for eons. I mean, he passed away, I think, I don't even remember, maybe in the early 2000s or something. He was out of the Yankee organization. But he was a big reason that Jeter was still on that roster and Bernie Williams was on that roster and Jorge Posada and Mariano Rivera and Andy Pettit, and the list goes on and on. He understood what it took to win, and he was a major voice in that world, especially when they started to make the decision that they weren't going to try to sign high-priced guys. They're going to try to build it from within. They're going to play great defense. They're going to steal bases, and they're going to put bat on ball. Somewhere along the way here, they've lost that. And that's why they haven't had the success. And I will tell you, we talked about debating the Yankees. Could they make the playoffs? Sure, they'll make a run at this. There's a lot of bad baseball teams. But they are not built to win a championship, and they're not. And I promise you they won't get close to it.
So maybe you should stop watching the Yankees, watch the Padres and the Red Sox a little more, and you'll feel better about baseball?
I haven't watched a Padres game. And I based on what you tell me watching the Red Sox, I don't know if I would either, right? There's a lot of swinging and missing there, too.
Well, that's because the pitching is so good.
Usually, the Red Sox are one of the better teams about hitting the ball to different parts of the field and not always swinging for power. But the last couple of games, man, they've been really trying to put that ball 450 feet.
And it's a baseball issue. See, it's not just a one-team issue. I think it's the analytics of the game that we've gotten to. Like, everybody fell in love with that Billy Bean situation in Oakland where there was a movie done about him, and nobody seems to talk about that movie. That they don't talk about the pitching staff that they had, which was Hudson, Zito, Mulder, which were three of the best pitchers
in
baseball.
Which is why they were able to do what they did
exactly. You know, and again, you know, and I'm not saying that there aren't strategies that you can take into play to make baseball, use analytics to make baseball players better, but all this launch angle stuff, and we've just gotten away from it. And you're seeing from these young Yankees, the guys like Gleyber Torres, like, he's a good example. Like, the pitchers have made an adjustment on Gleyber Torres. The difference is he's trying to hit home runs. Instead of him making the adjustment,
it's no longer Gleyber Day.
It's no longer Gleyber Day in New York.
No.
No. It's no longer anything day in New York. You know, but you look at younger teams like the Miami Marlins, the Boston Red Sox. San Diego's got a lot of talent on that team. So I haven't watched it, even though they're unbelievable to watch.
They play fun.
Yeah, they're a fun baseball team to watch.
I've heard the White Sox are another team that's pretty dynamic on offense. They do a lot of different things. They like to run.
Yeah, I mean, that's what baseball is. And again, we've been listening to people, and I've always said this, one of the biggest problems we have in baseball is that the faces of baseball, Bernie, the guys that should be out there talking about how special the game is, the guys that are on television, the guys that are out in front. And I went to one of these events right before COVID, when the Lake Monsters had an event. We had some very famous baseball names sitting up on a dais answering questions in front of a bunch of baseball fans. And they do spend time, and, you know, baseball's got to change this. Baseball's not doing this. Baseball's too long. And you just keep beating it down. So now we've made all these adjustments, and you've just ruined the game. You've literally ruined the game. It's unwatchable to watch. I haven't watched a full Yankee game. I don't think I've watched a full Yankee game this season. Can you imagine me saying that? You know, I mean, I never missed a game in the past.
Well, that's just because you are so frustrated with them.
I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated with the way they're playing the game.
And the way that they play the game. You know, it's more so, it sounds like it's, again, you're not afraid to watch a baseball game, but you just don't like the way the Yankees play.
I don't like the way I've seen, but it's not just the Yankees. I'm not liking the way I've seen a lot of teams play. I don't like that we keep changing the rules. We hit too many home runs last year. We're changing the ball. Now they're talking about moving the mound back. I mean, it's literally, to me, it's straight insanity. And again,
but if you're not changing, are you not trying to get better? I mean,
what are you trying to get better? Why do you have to? That's my point. Like, what are we trying to get better? Like, what are we trying to get better? The game is the game. Let the game be what it is. and be better at what you're doing. Like, why do we have to, why are we changing any of these sports, realistically speaking? Why? Why do you need to change the sport?
Because the biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. So try to get better, try to make adjustments to see if it works or not.
So you
have to continue to try to evolve.
You don't need to evolve these games. These games
have been,
because there's no need to do it. They're not, you're not changing the game. You're taking innings out in extra in double headers. You're putting a runner at second base in extra innings, or you're hitting home runs for extra innings.
Well, I'm not saying they work. Like, I do not like the runner at second in extra innings. I don't. I don't like the 2-7 inning double headers. I don't like those. But you have to try. And then it's easy to say, well, guess what? We're not going to do it moving forward.
Rob Ryan from Colchester, the voice of the women's hockey voice.
He does it all.
He does it all. He works with you. Oh, this is a big deal. I think he used to sit in this chair, too. What's going on, Rob? Thanks for calling, buddy.
Boys, how are you?
We're great.
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually heading to do some men's and women's lacrosse at UVM today.
Oh, so that's actually very nice.
Up so early in the morning. But I've got your baseball fix for you. I have been talking about this for years, and I can't believe it. The fix is right in front of our faces. And the problem with baseball has become a five-inning game. It's a five-inning game, and they bring in five dudes who can throw 900 miles an hour and strike everyone out. No one scores after the fifth inning, and it becomes boring. It's a five-inning game. So what you need to do is what they do in hockey. You put together your roster of bullpen people. You get your five starters. You can dress them in case you need them for some kooky reason. You got your one starter. You got a long man, a designated long man every game. You get a lefty and a righty, and you get your closer. And that's it for the game. You can have as many on the roster as you want, but you can only dress those players for the bullpen. And now the manager's going to figure it out. You bring in your long man, he's got to pitch three innings. That's it. You're using him as relief for your pitcher in case your pitcher gets, you know, dead in the first three innings.
But you see what you're doing right here is you're changing the game. Like, I disagree with you that they're not five-inning games. The reason they're five-inning games and guys are striking out is because their philosophy at the plate has changed. And they're not playing baseball. This is the problem. See, the fix isn't to fix it. The fix is just let it be what it is. Let the games.
So gimmicky. This isn't a gimmick. This is strategy. This is your roster. This is problem has become. There never used to be 15 pitchers on a roster. Like, you know, you go back to the 80s. You had 12. That's it.
No, I mean, and fine, but again, roster size and who you're deciding to pitch is one thing. Changing the game or changing who gets that if that's a strategy you want to go at as the manager of a baseball team, fair enough. But the reason nobody's hitting the ball well from the fifth inning on, because people are throwing, everybody throws 100 miles an hour now, is because of the decisions that they're making with these guys and how the game is being played now. And I think that's the problem. You don't need, and it's not just a baseball problem. We've seen changes made to the NFL. We've seen changes made to the NFL in the early part of the season. Bernie, you and I have talked about this, where they're not hitting in training camp, and the product is bad when the season starts. It takes four or five games to get these guys to football shape. So, I mean, we keep changing these games, and after a while, you lose it. And if baseball's really struggling, you start losing guys like me, you have a big problem.
You guys have a great day, boys. I gotta go and call some lacrosse today.
All right, buddy. Have fun.
Rob, thanks for the call, bud.
I mean, I understand what he's saying. That's the thing. Everybody thinks, oh, this is what we should do. No. Just don't change anything. Let baseball be baseball, and just trust it. It's worked for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but don't you think then that the if we're gonna have the let baseball be baseball, you know. But again, why can't those guys continue to adjust? Like, okay, so now the hitters have to get better and have to learn to be more complete.
Adjust.
That kind of stuff. So, again,
They're not complete anymore. That's the problem. They're not complete anymore. They're not complete hitters anymore. Everyone's trying to hit a home run. That's the point. Like, let baseball be baseball.
Well, and here's the thing about letting the game be the game is once a trend that's supposed to help teams win is here, letting the game be the game is waiting for that trend to go away, because other than rule changes, there's nothing you can do to end it. So it will end when teams that hit the ball all over the place and run start beat teams who just try to hit the home run all the time, then teams that just try to hit the home run will change their
construction. Maybe the best thing for baseball is the Yankees to go 60-102 with the way they're playing.
I mean, where Aaron's going with this, I understand. And what you're saying is, you know, makes no sense at all.
Well, but if you don't like the way they're playing and
it's not about just how they're playing. It's the strategy and what's happening. For the Yankees, the strategy stinks.
If they go 60-102, they'll have to change.
They'll have to. I agree. But I don't want to see
him. That'd be great.
Yeah, well. I mean, I'm just so annoyed with all this.
And I think it's coming. I don't know how many games you can sit there and watch your fans throw baseballs onto the field without feeling like you might need to do some stuff.
Well, I mean, they have it, Philadelphia. I mean, it's
it's beautiful.
All right, we'll be right back.
Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
Listen, I don't like pain, okay?
What do you mean? You're a Giants fan.
Yeah, well, I don't like physical pain.
Oh, okay.
Mental pain I'm used to.
On 101.3 The Game.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 The Game and 101.3thegame.com. 802-655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join our conversation today. 802-655-6672. Just had Rob Ryan call. He's the voice of UVM Sports, you know, with the PA. And, you know, did you notice he said, I would never be up this early? You know, normally I'm on my way to do a game. Like, it's quarter after 11 when you call,
now,
man.
Now, you do have to be careful because, you know, there is the men's basketball PA guy.
Steve Gentile. Right, Steve Gentile. Well, you know. He's the voice of Patrick.
That's
what I say. He's the voice of Patrick.
Yeah. Okay.
And Rob's the voice of other sports at UVM.
All right. Just tell me. Sure.
Yeah, I know who the voice of God is. I understand.
I know. You know,
I know that. But, Rob, let's get out of bed.
He's a patron. I know he is a patron. He came in the other day.
He comes in all the time.
Yeah.
Cool. I make a big deal of him when he comes in, too. I'm like, you guys know who that is? You know who that is?
That's Patrick
Jim's voice.
We've got a message here for the voice of Vermont Sports Radio on Saturdays. Sorry to get you worked up on your birthday. Don't want you to have a heart attack. Worried about you in your old age now. That's from Dennis in Georgia.
You didn't work me up. Yeah, Dennis is a good dude.
Yes.
Yeah, I appreciate that. He didn't work me up. I'm just telling you. I just, you know, you didn't work me up. I think Dennis is baseball purist.
You've been so worked up today.
I love doing this show with you guys.
Do you really, though?
No, I do. I look forward to it. I do.
It's hard to tell sometimes.
I love it. Anyway. So,
I mean, because you're kind of like Aaron Rodgers to me right now. Call the segue.
Aaron Rodgers. Well, let's talk about that. It's a good segue here on Sports Saturday. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to be a Green Bay Packer. Is that correct? Am I understanding this?
Yes.
He's come out and vocally said that he wants to leave.
So he hasn't come out and vocally said so. Teammates unnamed are reporting to Adam Schefter that he's told them he does not want to be there anymore.
Yeah. But I thought there was people. Is that the people within the organization?
Yes.
That he's told? So it's been teammates.
Yeah, that's
not
that's
people within management.
A more recent report is that it's an unnamed teammate, I believe.
What exactly does Aaron Rodgers, and again, it's funny, when you first hear, initially when I heard this, it was early in the draft, I thought, oh boy, he's going to New England. I mean, there's going to be some package put together and he's going to be a Patriot. But then you think about it a little bit as, you know, it's always good to get up, you know, take the 24-hour rule burn and ingest it. And you think to yourself, like, Aaron, like, what exactly are you upset about in Green Bay? And again, I go back to the same thing I talk about when fans go after the Patriots and Bill Belichick for what people deem as Bill Belichick making poor decisions in the draft and not drafting the perfect guy every time. I mean, the Patriots in the last 20-something years, with the exception of this year, has never had a top 10, 15 pick, right? I mean, at least I can't remember last time. So you're basically taking flyers on guys that are, you know, they might be highly touted. But you're still rolling the dice on guys that you're picking in the 20s. And that's what Green Bay has been for the last, since Aaron Rodgers has been a star in the league. I mean, I guess I don't understand what he wants the organization to do.
Go ahead.
Sorry. They don't draft receivers high. As a matter of fact, Devontae Adams is the last receiver they drafted, quote unquote, high. And that was at 56, not in the 20s, the 50s. And they traded up last year to draft his replacement while he's still one of the greatest quarterbacks on earth. So there's some stuff they've done in the draft that's not missing on picks. It's just doing stuff that's not helpful.
But business is business. And Aaron Rodgers is definitely at an age now where we're probably thinking about him retiring. And, you know, they did the same thing with Brett Favre, right? I think the Green Bay Packers have the blueprint to sustaining success, right? If they didn't draft Aaron Rodgers, you know, when Brett Favre was the quote unquote one of the best quarterbacks in the league, and they did it with Brett Favre. I mean, what makes Aaron Rodgers? You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers' team weren't they the number one seed this year? Even with Green Bay drafting a backup quarterback that could maybe succeed him, and he decides to retire or leave.
Well, yeah, he was amazing this year.
That's what I'm saying.
Part of why.
But again, that football, and he had Devontae Adams. That's a great player. I mean, they had some injury issues. He's got weapons. I guess to me, you just wonder, and that maybe that's just where we're at with today's athlete, is that Aaron Rodgers should retire. You know, I know Brett Favre left. I get all that. But Brett Favre was farther on when he left Green Bay. I mean, Brett Favre was definitely on the other end when he left Green Bay. But, you know, you look at this guy and you think, what are you upset about? Your team is consistently in a position to win a championship every single year. And we talk about the parity in the NFL, and we've seen teams that just go from being great to terrible. I mean, look at the San Francisco 49ers as a great example, right? They're a team that went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They were expected to go to the Super Bowl again last year, and they had the third pick in the draft. I mean, they weren't a good football team. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you look
but
at...
I think that's a tough example because they had so many people opt out and so many injuries.
I get it, but what I'm saying is you go from great to bad easy in the NFL, and Green Bay hasn't done that. Green Bay has not a year where they've been...
Because quarterback play, which is so important, rules, and Aaron Rodgers is that good. Okay. And San Francisco did not have... Like, I'm just using that
But when
you're saying good to bad, I mean, look, when Eli left, the Giants went down.
Oh, please.
what are you laughing at?
Yeah, did you just compare that man to Aaron Rodgers?
No, I did not.
Yeah, you got to stop that.
I get you off track every time I do it.
You do, because we're getting texts coming in about this.
What are they saying? Anything
good? Well, Kevin from Bronx said, I think Aaron Rodgers is really mad when the owner refers to him as Mr. Danica Patrick.
That's tough.
Yeah, and anyway, there's a lot of somebody. But the point is that the organization is the one, when it's all over, that's left holding this, right? I mean, when it's all said and done.
But there is no real owner in Green Bay.
The community owns it, which is kind of cool. Okay, so but the organization at the end of it, when Aaron Rodgers decides to go retire, when he's done, this team will have to continue to go on, and they want to be relevant. So the decisions that they're making have proven over the years, at least from what I've seen, that to make them a relevant contender every year for the last, how many years? I mean, they've been a contender forever. And I guess it's just hard for me to look and say, I want out of here. And if Aaron Rodgers is looking at his teammates and saying that, what are the teammates thinking? I mean, what are the teammates thinking with that?
Please show up on Sunday.
Yeah, please show up and play. I don't know.
So if you're Aaron Rodgers, I think the perspective is it's a mix of, if you're this good and you've only won he's won one Super Bowl. Then it must be because the organization hasn't given you enough, right? Like, you're Aaron Rodgers. You should have, you know, three rings or whatever.
Well, hold on a minute. How many guys
have three? That's the perception of a lot.
But how many guys have three? I mean, you know,
how many guys have two?
Well, I mean, fine. But I mean, again, but that's not a reflection of the organization. I mean, not a lot of guys have more than one Super Bowl. Not a lot of guys do. I mean, we know Eli does. I know. I can't believe I'm going to argue. I'm a Giants fan. I mean, I understand it.
If Eli Manning can get the support to get two rings, Aaron Rodgers can get the support to get three.
Okay, but I would argue that and that's fair enough.
And that's probably what he thinks is what I'm saying.
Hold on a minute. But the reason the Giants have two rings is not because of the weapons that Eli Manning has. It's because the defense has done well. And that's what Green Bay has done, is tried to build a great defense. And they brought in last year with what they deemed was maybe the successor to Aaron Rodgers, is exactly like they did with Brett Favre. So the blueprint is right there. It's right in front of you. I guess I just don't get it.
I think when you get the mix of there's the perception that he doesn't get enough support, and then they draft Jordan Love last year when Aaron Rodgers probably still thinks he's got meat on the bone, even though I understand where Green Bay would think he's coming to the close. That's the problem that ended up happening between Tom Brady and New England at the end, too, is the athlete and the team are never going to think their prime is over at the same time.
The funny thing that I think in all of this is, okay, if Aaron Rodgers still has 2 or 3 years left, you know, barring injury, they drafted that guy, Love, last year. And everybody's like, oh, you have to get the rookie quarterback contract. And so if he's going to take over in year four,
he's going to have to get paid.
They're going to have to, he's going to have to get paid after 2 years of playing. So it's kind of like, well, you know, unless you're really going to move him to get the most out of the draft pick, you know, in terms of value, because he's going to play and play for less years, which is why I don't understand, if unless they're going to move him, why did they take that guy last year? Yeah. That's my question.
Well, and the other...
Do you understand what I'm saying? If they're going to move Aaron Rodgers?
Right. And I don't think they should, because obviously he is that good. But I'm saying, like, you know, I can understand why he's a little frustrated and be like, are you seeing what I'm seeing?
And this wasn't like he's a guy we can't miss on, so we'll draft him even though the timeline's not right. This is Jordan Love, so it tells you they have a different timeline than Aaron Rodgers does in his head.
And if that's the case, that's the case.
Well, you can understand why he wouldn't like that, though, right?
He may not like it, but it's but then do what you need to do to stay there and make it difficult. It's just like Brady did when they brought in Garoppolo, and they end up trading Garoppolo. I mean, I guess what it comes down to is that sometimes it's okay to be challenged a little bit. Sometimes it's okay to look at an older guy that maybe they looked at and said, maybe we want to put a little...
He answered that challenge and they're not doing anything for him.
But what does that even mean? Maybe they are doing... They haven't had... What are you supposed to do for him? They haven't had a pick, a relevant pick that you would say, okay, like for example... One of those kids from Alabama wasn't sitting there this year, and they decided to go somewhere else. Or they didn't. Nope. That's not the way this worked. And this team does need defensive help. And I mean, again, I'm not a Green Bay Packer, expert, but you look at what the Green Bay Packers have been. You just think, okay, this is our quarterback. We made a decision to bring another. I mean, look at how many organizations don't do that. Don't bring another guy in. Let that guy like Eli Manning hang out as long as he wants. You know, and basically put your organization in a situation that the Giants have been in while Eli Manning, they finally drafted a highly rated quarterback to have behind him. So, because Eli was, we knew it was going to be the last year for him. Most organizations are like, look where the Patriots are right now. There's a lot of unknowns with the Patriots. Green Bay has done it differently, but I don't understand Aaron Rodgers freaking out here and, you know, tell me I want out. Like, it's a bad look for a guy who's arguably one of the greatest to ever play and arguably one of the best players in the league right now. And I just think it's a bad look. In the beginning, I thought, well, I can see it. But then you think back and you're like, I mean, is this the way we are now? You know, you work for somebody, they do something that you deem is disrespectful. Now I want out. I just want out. Is that where we're at in life now? Is this the way we're going to be? Maybe they're challenging you. Maybe deep down inside, you know, we're going to challenge him a little bit. We're going to push him a little bit. There's nothing wrong with that. And they're not always going to make the decision that you want when you want it just because you're Aaron Rodgers. I mean, the Yankees went through with Derek Jeter.
I mean, I think that is where we are now. You see guys like Justin Herbert they're sitting in the draft room having weigh in on what their team does in the draft.
Joe Burrow.
Yep.
Like, if you're Joe Burrow, I know you want your boy, but don't you think you need an offensive lineman before Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah. But that's what a lot of teams are doing now, and Green Bay is doing basically the opposite, where even when it's obvious that you should draft a receiver or go get a receiver in free agency, they're not doing it.
Right, well, I'm not saying Ja'Marr Chase is bad or anything like that's great, and you know that's going to be exciting. But why did Joe Burrow get hurt?
Well, yeah. and maybe that if that's where we're at, you're going to have organizations like Cincinnati that are going to make bad decisions. I mean, the Giants did it with Odell Beckham Jr. I mean, think about the draft picks that the Giants have made with Evan Ingram. You know that really have
two All Pro players.
Hey, Ingram, please spare me this All Pro.
He was not All Pro.
No,
this year.
He was, but okay. You're as good as he is. Okay, there's no. There must have been 45.
Thank you, Jeff.
There must have been 45 people ahead of him that couldn't play in that game for him to become an All-Pro player. Because there's no way that Evan Ingram was an All-Pro football player this past year. But anyway, the point being is if that's what you're going to do and you're going to make sure, we got to make sure the quarterback's happy. You're going to have losing. That's the difference between winning and losing, basically for me. Cincinnati's been a long time loser, and again, I think that wide receiver from LSU is a difference maker. But yeah, Cincinnati. I mean, look at his knee. Just look at Burrow's knee right now, right? I mean, you would think that he's like, we got to protect him, and that's what somebody said. Getting a that's the thing about the draft, right? That's what somebody said on Twitter I read the other day. Drafting a really good lineman is like getting socks for Christmas. Not flashy, but you know they're going to get the job done.
Right.
And that really is what I think you have to do if you're going to build your organization. So for that, if you're going to let the quarterbacks choose who they're going to pick, you're probably not going to be a winner.
So socks for Christmas or birthday?
Hint. It's gotten to a point now where I like socks. When I get new socks, I like that. I do. But I like the ones where you don't, the no-show socks. I like the no-show socks. Like the ones that are, like when I golf, I wear the no-show socks. I don't like your game? Yeah, my game is no-show. Okay. I played so bad last week, by the way. Oh, my God, I was embarrassed.
It had to be the weather.
Yeah, we'll blame it on the weather.
Spring.
Anyway. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, it's going to be hot or not time. Don't go anywhere.
Better crank up that AC, because Sports Saturday is about to bring the heat. It's hot or not on 101.3 The Game.
Kiddo, what do we got today?
This is Hot or Not, and it is all thanks to our wonderful sponsor, Superb Cupcakes. They are open for curbside pickup. You can get available flavors, find available flavors posted on their Facebook and Instagram pages daily. Call them today at 802-871-5941 and place your order for contact-free pickup today.
And today's cupcake of the day, the cotton candy cupcake.
Wow.
Ooh. So it's it looks like a funfetti cupcake with a light bluish, color and some sprinkles on top. And I promise you, I've never had one, but I promise you that tastes exactly like a like cotton candy. And that's just one example of one cupcake there, and they're all crazy good. And if you're not into like the funky flavors, like which I am, I like stuff like that. If you like the basics, you know, you like the simple vanilla or the simple chocolate cupcake, you can get that too.
Nothing wrong with being simple.
I totally agree. And you're looking at two simple guys right here. Three simple guys. Well, you're not simple. Hey. You're not. Bernie and I are simple.
I'm very simple.
Yeah.
The Jets have finally found their franchise quarterback.
Boy, I'll tell you what. You'd swear that they did with everything you're hearing about this kid. You know, I'm going to tell you.
How young did he look, by the way?
He did, didn't he?
About 12.
Oh, my goodness.
He did. I'm going to say not. And I'm going to say not because I'm not sold on him yet. I think they should have kept Sam Darnold. I really do. You know, he really played nobody. And he skyrocketed up the list quickly. And I know he's got some unbelievable arm. He did, Bernie. I mean, you know,
Trey Lance then? Who'd he play?
Who? No, I agree. I think he's a flyer too, but I don't think the expectation for him is as high as it is with the Jets. I think that this kid's expectation is very, very high. I mean, I hope he is for Jet fans because they've been paying. It's been a long, long life for Jet fans unless you were hanging out with the Namath era. But I'm going to say not. I'm not sold on him yet. Lot to prove.
I'm going to say hot. I mean, we both know that we thought Darnold should have stayed, but with what they did and then trading up to get the guard and then from USC and then taking the wide receiver yesterday from Ole Miss, I think they are putting pieces in place for him to be successful. I think, watching him and the way he handles stuff, I was pretty impressed. I'm going to say hot, and I think the Jets might have a shot in 5 years.
And you got to love Joe Douglas. 5 years. I saw it. And Joe Douglas, the GM. I mean, if there's anyone that knows how to build a roster to win, he does. Right, and I think you got to rest your laurels on
it. It's just really tough because the Patriots are still the Patriots. The Bills are really good. And the Dolphins are, you know.
If Tua is who everyone hopes they are, then they're going to be awesome.
So the Jets will, their division is very tough.
Yeah, I think Wilson's athleticism gives him a really good chance. It's just he has a bigger learning curve than guys who are playing, in a Power 5 conference with super competitive rivals in their conference. Mac Jones will start day one for the Patriots.
Wasn't that our poll question?
It was. We'll just scratch it then.
Not even close.
Yeah, you know, see, I think what's going to happen is I think the initial thing will be not, but I think it'll be quick because if he shows that he can outplay Cam.
This is hot or not. This isn't.
Okay, hot. I think he's going to. God, I don't know. Not. I'll say not. Won't be week one. Not. But it will be during the season, I think.
Yeah, I'm also going to go not. I think Mac Jones, because he's not a guy who can extend plays when he doesn't have, you know, what he needs to do in front of him. He's a guy who's going to take a little longer to be ready.
I'm saying not because Cam is going to have a great year and the Patriots are going to be better than people think.
Okay. I don't know about that.
Okay, that's fine. You'll be eating my bowl of crow with this one.
The Giants blew it by not trading up to get one of the more coveted wide receivers.
Not. I don't think trading up was the thing to do. So I'm going to say not on that. I mean, I'm telling you, at the moment, I didn't like. And the thing was I didn't necessarily want the receivers. I wanted the linebacker, and it was there for him. But I love the fact that Aziz Ojulari is now a New York Giant. He's exactly the type of guy I was hoping they would get. So I'm very happy with what the Giants have done, and they've really set themselves up for next year as well. Hats off to Dave Gettleman. Deserves a standing ovation for this one.
Ah, how the winds have changed, Aaron, so quickly. I will say not. They did not blow it. I think they really set themselves up for success. And Dave, I agree with Jeff. Dave Gettleman has done a tremendous job, and it'll be interesting to see what they do today. I still think they need one more skill position, you know, whether it's wide receiver or running back to create depth, one offensive lineman and a linebacker.
I say not. I think Tony's a good fit for what they need. I think the fact that they have Galladay means he didn't have to be the absolute best talent at wide receiver in the draft. He just had to be someone who can be productive in space so that Daniel Jones can get the ball out quickly when plays break down. And I think the extra assets are great for a team that's trying to build a bright future. Despite the leak that he wants to trade, Aaron Rodgers will play for Green Bay in 2021.
Oh, hot. I mean, the Green Bay's already come out and said, why would they trade him? I mean, he's arguably the best quarterback in the league right now. You know that when he's on the field, you always have a chance to win. And truth be told, if it wasn't for some really shoddy play calling, they might have been they might be the Super Bowl champions. So, I know, he'll be
play calling or a little laundry, too. from the referees in that
game. That's true, too. But I think the play calling, when it would be, I mean, there was some really questionable play calling late in that game. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, he'll be the Green Bay Packer quarterback.
I'm going to be different. I'm going to go not. I'm going to say I think San Francisco, now that with some quarterback assets and some really good depth on defense and some different things, we'll be a trading partner for Aaron Rodgers.
If that's the case, why would San Francisco draft a quarterback? The trade to Green Bay?
Sure, why not?
Asking you that
it's the you know the they have Love and then they add a little competition. You know, Aaron doesn't like it in Green Bay, so why not
go to San Francisco
and bring some?
And you got to think, if they get a good enough package, if a team overpays enough, they might change their mind. Like the Dolphins, there have been talk maybe the Dolphins aren't as impressed with Tua as they're acting like, and they'll trade Tua and two firsts.
Boy, that would be something.
That would be pretty crazy.
If Aaron Rodgers goes to Miami, look out.
And if all you're getting is Tua and two firsts, you're not doing that.
Are you kidding? Why? Why wouldn't you get for two firsts and Tua? Why not?
Because if you send Aaron Rodgers to Miami, for two first round draft picks, you're going to be drafting 30 because he is going to propel Miami to that level. For the league MVP, you're only going to take one quarterback who is kind of 50-50 and two first round draft picks. The Giants got more for that, going from 11 to 20.
Okay.
Aaron Boone will last the season as the manager of the Yankees.
Absolutely. I am so hot on that. I think it's a match made in heaven, and the Yankees are hitting their stride. Ten runs.
For the record.
Five dingers.
Oh, please.
Jeff?
I mean, I'll say hi. He'll be the Yankee manager because they won't make the decision, but they should trade him. They should not trade him. They should fire him. I really do. They should bring back Buck Showalter. And they should force these guys to play the right way. And I mean, one of the things that's happened, either Aaron Boone, which I believe there's other strings being pulled there. I don't think Aaron Boone's making these decisions. So either you got to either allow him to be Aaron Boone and be the manager that we hope that he is, or if this is what he is, it's time to move on from this. And it's time for the Yankees to do things the old fashioned way. I would love to see an old baseball guy like Buck Showalter take over.
Well, it's funny, Aaron, you said earlier how, you know, the Chicago White Sox were a team that's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Tony La Russa.
Exactly. Playing old-time baseball. Love it.
With all the things he's accomplished in his short career, Tatum is already the third greatest Celtic behind Russell and Bird.
Whoa.
You want to go first on that one?
Sure. And not. Not. And not. No. No. He was tremendous last night, and he's getting there, but he has to... No, not. He needs more help. He needs one more big guy, and he's got to win more. He's tremendous, and he got it done, and he did some things yesterday, and when they played Steph Curry, he's a special talent, but no, not.
Yeah, I'm going to say not as well. I mean, that's just not. But I will say this about Tim. You have to give him a ton of credit how much bigger he's gotten. I mean, what he's put into it. I mean, he just looks like a presence out there. And I think he's got a chance to be very, very special. And my hope for the Celtics is that he can be the type of athlete that is all about winning. And that they can build that organization around him because he's got that kind of potential. But to put him in the same world as Larry Bird and the great Bill Russell, that's a lot.
Yeah, not. But he's still very young, and if he keeps developing like this, 10 years from now, he's had 10 years of being as great.
Well, but that's a different conversation.
Right.
I'm surprised that a guy from Duke is excelling like this in the NBA. Shocked by that.
Well, there's a lot of people
saying... You just don't see that much.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. But there's a lot of people that are saying he is not excelling, which also perplexes me.
Yeah, how is that exactly? I mean, he's definitely a guy that coming...
There's a lot of Celtic fans that just don't like him.
It's... Really? When things start going bad, Brown and Tatum both have a tendency to go back to the ISO, and a lot of Celtics fans are, you know, old school. They don't want to see that, especially when that goes wrong.
And that's understandable. But when they're on,
I feel that way
like the other night. Oh my goodness, when those two guys went off, I'm trying to think who did they play the other night when they both had they shot like 32 for 50 combined.
Hornets? Was it the Hornets?
Yes. When they came back and beat the Hornets, or not came back, but. Yeah. After getting embarrassed by them on Sunday, they turned around and played well. And when those two guys are clicking like that, it's as good as anybody. And just the one thing the Celtics need to do is get rid of Marcus Smart, please. Please, just get rid of him.
You don't like Marcus Smart?
No.
That pass, the pass against Brooklyn.
That was pretty embarrassing.
It was clean. Clean pass.
He made some big plays last night, too, though. He forced a huge turnover down the stretch. I think he's a guy I would rather see as a sixth man.
We do have to go to break, but I want to ask. I don't watch a lot of Celtic games, but to me, Smart is like the Rodman type, right? Brings a lot of emotion,
yep.
Jumping on the floor, makes some bonehead things. I mean, don't you kind of need that on that squad?
They have.
I just don't
think. The guy from Vanderbilt, Naismith, is more than capable to do it. Marcus Smart will not help the Celtics win a championship.
I think if he can be a bench guy, I'm happy with him. He has a really big role on this team, and that's not necessarily the right role for him.
Yeah, so that's why they need to get rid of him or put him on the bench. I agree with you.
If Naismith keeps developing, that might happen. He might end up being at the starting, you know, two, and you move
Brown
down.
He got suspended for a game for berating the officials.
That was ridiculous.
The teapot is bubbling tomorrow. Oh. You want Smart. You think it'd be smart to get rid of Smart?
Yes.
Well, there you go. All right. Okay, quick break. When we come back, we tie a bow on the show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't go anywhere.
We hate to say it, but the show is almost over. So we'll get the brass monkeys going and send you into your sports weekend. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game.
That 2 hours went by fast.
It did?
Exactly. Real quick, we'll get...
Like your trip around the sun?
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. It does mean the world to me.
I hope Monica has a nice day planned for
me
you.
Me too. I hope she has a nice day planned for me too.
She might
especially
not have...
After what you said.
The doors, probably the locks have been changed.
If it does change, let me know. I'll take care of you.
All right, let me... By the way, fine. Anyway, let's move on. Real quick, on the Town Fair Tire text line, Sam from Plattsburgh said, yo, Jeff, are the Yankees on a roll now? Now that you think they're going to keep hitting? No, they're not on a roll. They just face good pitching. Now, I'll tell you they're on a roll when they start hitting for average, start getting base hits instead of home runs. Dougie from Burlington said, gentlemen, apparently, this is about number 11, must be doing something. You know, intern 11's a good guy. He's a big Mets fan. Mm-hmm. Rams fan Ralph Rogers is being childish at the worst time. I'm hot on that, Rams fan Ralph. I totally agree. And then Tony said, didn't know Tony's last name or where he's from, but his name's Tony. Jason Tatum is a very, very, very talented young man. But in order for him to be mentioned in that category, he needs to win at least two championships. It's fair.
That's absolutely.
Absolutely fair. All right, the Town Fair Tire text line is always open to you, by the way, at 802-655-6672. But the Green City Garage poll question, Green City Garage located at 49B Commerce Ave, Unit 5 in South Burlington, 802-651-9299. The question today was, you could have gone to Twitter at 101.3 The Game and answer this question. Who is a starter at quarterback for the Patriots week one, Cam Newton or Mac Jones? Aaron, who won?
69% said Cam Newton.
Wow.
Nice.
Well, Bernie,
that
right
surprises
again.
You?
I think it does surprise me. I think the thought process right now would be, at least for me, if I was a fan, was like, let's get this guy the ball immediately. And I will say, and I'm going to ask this question to you, if I remember when the Giants had Kurt Warner, when Eli's first year was, Kurt Warner was it, and they were a winning football team. I think they were 5-3 or 5-4. When the Giants basically said, we were in a position to go to the playoffs, and then Eli got in, and it was just abysmal. You know, we know the struggles that Eli had early in his career.
Such a hater.
I'm just a realist. I'm a Giant fan.
No, yes, I am.
I am a Giant fan.
Okay.
Okay. I just tell it as I see it. And Eli Manning's first few years were very rough. Think about if Kurt Warner stayed with the Giants for a few years, and Eli could have joined after, you know, give a few years to Kurt Warner. Maybe the Giants, you know, Kurt Warner took the Arizona Cardinals to the Super Bowl.
Did he win it?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is could we see that in New England where, Cam Newton's having a decent season, the Patriots are 500 or a little over, a little under, that they decide Mac Jones is the guy? I mean, could that happen? That would be very interesting to see if Bill Belichick would pull it. Because for me, and we've always said this, why would Bill Belichick stay for a rebuild? I just don't think he would. So you'd think that he'd want to get this kid, if he thinks he can play, he'd want to get this kid out there immediately. I don't know.
Going to be interesting, but I think Cam is going to, I just think Cam,
he's the guy.
They got one run in them this year. Yeah. And I really like what they're doing, and I'm the last guy who's going to cheer for the Patriots.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Aaron here. Just wanted to let you know that the reason the podcast ends there is that Jeff and Bernie got cut off by the network out at the top of the hour, so Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. As always, we're Sports Saturday on 101.3 The Game. See you later.